This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Christmas edition of Follow the Money. It is Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz on the desk here for Mitch and Paul. Don't worry, they'll be back in here soon. But we are coming down to the wire, and what we did not know was going to be as tight of a game as it is, Jeff Schwartz. We were talking yesterday about the survivor implications of what's going to go on here on Christmas Day. This is a 7-point game at the 2:03 mark of the fourth quarter. Yes, the Washington Commanders are only down a touchdown in this one. They have actually squandered several different trips to the red zone. I mean, they could easily be up in this game.
They could, and that's why they're not good this season, right? They've made a lot of mistakes. A 2-minute warning now. This is actually interesting because the Commanders should jump off sides and give Dallas another set of downs because it's within 5 yards right now. Mm-hmm. Because if they get a 2-yard carry, let's say, and they call timeout and they get a first down, the game is over, right? So this way you give yourself an opportunity to get off the field in 3 downs. I'm curious if they do that. 2nd and 4 right now, the smart thing would be to jump off sides, give them a first down, and then have your 3 timeouts left to get 3 stops in a row and get the ball back. So kind of curious if Washington does the smart thing, which they did by kicking the field goal a second ago, right? They were driving down 10 points to make that happen. I teased the Cowboys, ended up doing that. Talked about that yesterday. So I got -2.5, so I'm sitting okay for now. I'm just glad to be here for many reasons. One, happy holidays, everyone. Merry Christmas. I'm glad I don't have to hear any more Netflix interviews during the middle of the game. Like, we're done. We're going to be on the show during the next game. I'm glad to be here, not to listen to those anymore, because that's ruined my afternoon so far, listening to Michael Irvin and was it Clinton Portis talk? Not Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith. Michael Irvin was halftime show in his full white tuxedo talking and screaming into the microphone.
If anyone was here with us yesterday, and if you weren't, and maybe you weren't listening earlier, so we do have 5 of the remaining entries. We assumed this was going to be the case, Jeff. We assumed that the 5 that had the Cowboys would play them. Why wouldn't you? You were the only team that had favorites available. You're the only teams that had the 8.5, 9-point favorite here with the Cowboys. So all 5 did, in fact, take the Cowboys. Only 1 of the entries that had to play a dog ended up playing oppo of this. So we will either move through with 5 here or we'll move through with 1. There is 1 entry on the Commander. So either over 9 million will get put back into the pool or 1.8 million will get put back into the pool. But no matter what happens, no matter what goes down, we will lose somebody here in this early window.
Yeah. Well, I believe Derek Stevens tweeted out earlier that they took a hedge bet at $1 million, right? Something like that.
I just talked to him right outside the door. He took a $1.1 million hedge on this game right here.
On what side? Do we know which the one
was the people that took the Commanders? Yeah, the people that took the Commanders put 1.1 on the Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I assume that's a line of credit. They didn't walk in with
$1.1
million in cash.
That is the great thing here. That is the great thing here about Derek and Jeff Benson and whatnot. They welcome you to come in, and if you want to take out a big line of credit, they know you're good for it. You know, they know you're good for it. So, they took out the line of credit and 1.1 on that one. It gets very interesting, though, as we move forward, because, again, as the Cowboys are sitting here trying to maybe ice this thing, they're going to be 3rd and very short. And if they can get the first down, then they will end up winning this thing. If they do, it will, unless they break it, they will not cover. This got as high as 9 this morning, as you and I watched it yesterday kind of move a little bit as well. And so the Cowboys money continue to roll in.
Yeah, this is a bad decision by them to not give Dallas the first down, because now a first down ends the game, where if you jump off sides, you give Dallas 3, you know, new set of downs, essentially. You can call time after stopping them on 3rd down and get a punt. Now, if Dallas gets 1 yard here, the game is over. Now, you can, of course, stop them on this 1 yard, but they've been gashing them all day, and they are going to pass the ball here.
And that's
Dak
it.
Gets the first down. So that's going to do – that'll be it. Pickens gets out of bounds like a dummy. What are we doing, man? Why are you getting out of bounds?
Because
Why
he
are you
needed,
running out of bounds?
Because, Jeff, he needed the extra 3 yards. I mean, you know,
this is why teams are bad, by the way.
Catch and fall down.
Actually, the reason why
catch
teams
and fall
are
down,
bad.
And the game's over.
Just
catch and fall down.
Go down. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Actually, it was like fighting for the sideline. You know, yeah, it's actually like fighting for the sideline.
Unbelievable. That's why teams are bad. It's that why. It's the reason why.
So that's going to do it.
Very simple.
So five very, very happy Circa Survivor entries. They are in victory formation here. So they're going to kneel this thing out and they will advance. One does go down, but don't worry. Didn't go down empty handed, as we just mentioned. Had the 1.1 million on the Dallas Cowboys here in this one.
They ruled forward progress stopped before he went out of bounds.
Okay.
Because Commander had to call timeout, which, sure, whatever you want to say, officials. Yeah. I don't know how, whatever. Okay. Yeah. That's not what happened, but sure. I mean, sure. You allowed forward progress to continue on the Steelers-Lions game to Amon-Ra St. Brown to go 7 yards backwards and pitch the ball, but you don't want to allow forward progress to let him go out of bounds there. The forward progress stuff bothers me. They just make it up as they go. They absolutely just make it up as they go. There's no uniform rhyme or reason that they do stuff. That stuff bothers me here. But so four entries survive. Five entries survive, right?
Five survive. Yeah. One will go down. And then, but like I said, not going away empty-handed there. That's the last time out there for the Commanders. So, I mean, they'll probably run it. I imagine they'll take knees. But regardless, they're already in field goal range. And then this is also very, very, very little time for Washington to get anything done. I'm probably going to be a loser here in this one, as I had the Treylon Burks over receiving yards, and he caught an 11-yard pass on the opening drive, Jeff. And I'm like, oh, here we go. He's going to be worked into this game, like right off the bat. Everything's great. Doesn't have a target since. So, you know, it is what it is. Football's funny.
Yeah. I think I told you I liked Davis, the backup running back, yesterday over rushing, and he is well over rushing. He's got 103 yards. Today. Now, obviously, Williams was hurt, but he went over rushing before Williams got hurt. So that's an angle I like to play in some of these games. I think there'll be kind of a blowout. It's to take the backup running back over because they get more carries. And Williams, unfortunately, got hurt, so that ended up helping me out there. And I put the Cowboys in a teaser. And so after that Cal game last night, man, I need something. I need something positive to go my way. And we have a good start so far today.
Yeah, we were. I mean, again, to give you credit, you saw it coming. At least you saw it coming. I mean, it was it's one of those weird things. It was like in slow motion coming. You're just like, okay, they're not moving the ball anymore. The vibes seem really like they're shifting here. Oh, man, this is no good. And then sure enough, at the end of the game, we saw how that ended up. I know you were all watching because it was the only sporting event that was on yesterday.
I unfortunately know too much about Cal. My brother went to Cal. I've covered the Pac-12 for years, obviously in the ACC now. I've watched a lot of Cal football, and that was a Cal football game. I had someone even tweet me like, they do this 4 times a year. I'm like, yeah, that's about right. 4 times a year, they have a game like that. So obviously Tosh Lapoy's job now is to fix that. The one thing I just don't like the people that get on the internet and start bragging about like how they were right about the Hawaii, that they took Hawaii, that was the right side at the final play of the game.
Right.
Frustrates me.
It's being results oriented for sure. with the way that ended up, but it was, I was feeling for you, buddy. Cause that was brutal there at the end. Dak Prescott is going to end up with throwing for 307 yards. So he's going to go over his total there. And that one, two touchdowns and no picks for him. He was sacked 6 times in this game, but when it's all said and done, does go over the 300-yard mark. As you mentioned, Malik Davis takes over for the injured Javonte Williams. He goes for 103 yards. So if you did take any prop for him, obviously covers any and all numbers in that one. That last little catch that we were kind of scratching our head about, that it seemed like that George Pickens was fighting for the sideline, that actually did get him over for the game as well. That got him up to 78 yards. CeeDee Lamb, despite 5 catches, is going to go under at 46 yards for him. And then, of course, Jake Ferguson gets injured in this one as well. He has 1 catch, and if you had any time touchdown, good for you. It was a touchdown catch, but after that, he had to leave the game. So a couple of big injuries there on the Cowboys side in this one, and that's going to do it. 30-23. Cowboys win. If you have money line, good for you. Do not cover, as the Commanders keep this thing within the 8, 8.5, 9, whatever number it was that you got.
Yeah, there was, we talked about this yesterday. There was no chance I was taking Dallas to cover this game. I did think that they would maybe cover like easier than what happened in this game. And their offense scored 6 points in the second half. They just went in a shell. They didn't run the ball enough, in my opinion. It just wasn't good enough in the second half from them offensively. The Commanders fought, but the Cowboys defense stinks. I mean, people were trying to convince us like a month ago the Cowboys defense was good because they played well against Kansas City, and they didn't. They got all 28 points. Was silly to me. I never believed it, and they keep showing you they're not good on defense. Commanders fought here. The next game coming up is the one that I think we're going to see an upset in. So, I don't think we're going to have a straight three money line parlay winner today of all the favorites. I know that's probably a favorite of people. Maybe you threw in a basketball wager as well on that parlay, but I don't see that happening. I think the Vikings in this next game can get it done.
On the prop side from the Commanders, if you played any Kroski Merritt, any Bob Kroski Merritt stuff. So this morning, Rodriguez gets ruled out with an illness. Yep. And so that just propelled Merritt into the kind of workhorse role there. Now, they didn't have the luxury of running it a ton, but fortunately, one of the runs, he only had 11 carries, one of them went for 72 yards. So that gets you over any and all numbers there. His rushing prop gets home 105 yards and two touchdowns. For him, Debo Samuel goes over his rushing prop on two carries as he gets to 25 yards, 68 receiving for him, 63 receiving for Terry McLaurin in this one. But Josh Johnson only throws for 198, so not a lot to go around there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The Kroski Merritt went from about 28, 29 up to like 60 immediately when that news came out that Rodriguez was going to be out. Not when he was inactive. You know, they said, I think it was illness, right? Like illness. And it didn't really move very much, and he was out, and it rose up. So hopefully when that first news came out that he moved to the probable or doubtful list, you're able to cash in on that. And the Commanders lose again, man. I mean, look, they're going to have a better draft position. This is kind of the spot they want to be in. They don't want to lose division rival, obviously, but getting the draft pick is what they want.
Yep, 30 to 23 Cowboys over the Commanders. Do not cover the number there. It does go over the total. All things Detroit and Minnesota when we come back here and follow the money.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius Channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch and Paul today. Don't worry, they will be back in tomorrow. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to you all out there. Thanks for making the time to hang out here with us. One game down, two to go. The Cowboys do eventually hold on here after they go for 3 in the 3rd and 3 in the 4th to win 30-23 over the Commanders, who could not take advantage of several trips into the red zone, just kept kicking field goals, couldn't get into the end zone. Josh Johnson does not have a single passing touchdown in that one. And so the Cowboys do win, do not cover, move to 6-8 on the season. Commanders fall to 4-11. And as you said before the break there, Jeff, maybe better for them anyway. It's going to lock up about top 6 or 7 pick for them. And certainly they've got some holes they need to fill.
So Cowboys now can't go over 7.5, right? Cause that tie kind of screws them. Right. So that's disappointing. Cause I think I had their over 7.5 this season. But the Cowboys offense under Dak has always been good. Right. And we saw that again this year. No, they're 7-8-1. So I still got a chance, one more week against the Giants to go over their win total. Look, the Cowboys offense has been good when Dak has been healthy. His entire career, it's been that way. The question is, do they ever put enough pieces around him to make them an actual playoff contender to win a championship? The answer so far is no, especially on defense. They have to get better on defense to give him an opportunity. Look, Brian Schottenheimer has been better than I thought he would as a head coach. He's mostly just designed a good offense. The offense is efficient. He's used the weapons around him. The Pickens addition was huge, but do you pay Pickens? I'm sort of against paying two wide receivers, but the impact that Pickens had this season was so grand. Also, though, it's a contract year. Do you get good Pickens after you pay him? That's something that you always have to weigh as well. Can you find someone in the draft to take that production? The other question Dallas has to answer this year to get, you know, to get into the postseason and be where they want to be.
So we have a game kicking off here in about 15 minutes. The Lions and the Vikings. I'm watching my screen light up. It's kind of toggling back and forth between 7 and 7.5 out there right now in favor of the road Lions. 45.5 is our prevailing total here in this one. Jeff, as we mentioned, you know, this one, a little bit of a chance for the Lions to make the playoffs. So they do still have something to play for. It's about a 15-16% chance, depending on what probability calculator you look at out there. They need to win out. They need the Packers to lose out in order to get into the postseason here. Taylor Decker out in this one. Avante Maddox is out. David Montgomery was questionable with an illness. He is going to go, and I guess is expected to get his usual workload. So it might have been just one of those things where they felt they needed to add him in case he woke up and felt worse this morning. But of course, on the real big news here in this one is there is no J.J. McCarthy. It will be Max Brosmer yet again here for this Viking squad. And that said, you're not too worried about it being old Brosmer back there.
The Lions defense is not good. Like that's part of it. Why, right? So you have a defense that's really beat up in the secondary and has not been good now for a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, right? I mean, look, I go down. They allowed 29 to the Steelers, whose offense is a little challenged, right? 41 to the Rams, 30 to the Cowboys, 31 to the Packers, and 27 to the Giants with Jameis Winston. Like, this defense is beat up. They're not as good now. It's not really like a pro Brosmer take, but I think that now getting his third real game experience, a second start, that you can scheme up enough things. I trust Kevin O'Connell. They have good weapons around Brosmer, and the Lions defense just can't stop anyone, right? And on the flip side, the Vikings defense is still playing hard, right? They might be out of it, but they've played well. They limit the Cowboys, who we've seen score a ton of points, right, to 26 points. Now, the Commanders game, they shut them out. That's not really fair because Daniels only played like half a game. But before that, when Daniels was in, they were playing well. Like, the defense is still playing hard. So I think this is the game. One game I think has to ruin all the parlays today. And I think this is the one right here that's going to do it. I don't think the night game is going to do it at all. Even though the Chiefs totals ticked up, I don't know. Maybe it's just because people want to bet overs in game. So I think +7 here for the Vikings would be a way to play this game. I put him in a teaser with the Cowboys earlier today.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about this one is, you know, we do know what we're going to get from this Vikings defense. Flores blitzes a ton, basically always has the top blitzing defense in the NFL. If you look over the last 6 weeks, they are blitzing actually more than half the time, coming in about 52% of the time. They're coming with more than four. And you know, I mean, Jared Goff, at least of late, has been better against the blitz for sure. But the thing that it does, Jeff, which I kind of like your take here, if there's going to be an upset, obviously we know one's already in the books, but if there's going to be an upset, this is your take yesterday that it was going to be Minnesota's, the defense can at least cause a little bit of havoc, right? I mean, if those blitzes are getting home, Jared Goff isn't able to operate this offense like he wants to, maybe it opens up the opportunity for, you know, strip sacks, or he's throwing it a little quicker than he should and maybe a pick six or anything. So the defense might can put this offense just in better situations, even short field type of stuff, to where, like you said, we don't have to lean on Brosmer near as much because you only got to go 40 yards to score, or your defense runs it down and gets into the end zone for you. You didn't have to do anything to get points on the board.
Right. And look, the rushing defense for the Lions, they allowed both Rams running backs have 2 weeks ago, 78 and 71. Last week, Warren had two long rushing touchdowns, plus Gainwell, I think, added about 50 yards. The Cowboys game, Javonte Williams only had 12 carries, but had 67 yards. They've allowed a ton of rushing yards. Like, this is not a good defense. So to your point, if you can run the ball well and then tack on some play action passes, just some easy stuff for Brosmer to do, you can control the tempo and what this game is going to be like. That's the key, right? Now, the Lions shut down the run and Brosmer's in third and long, in those situations where you kind of don't want him to be in, that's where you're going to have trouble. Obviously, that's where you want to avoid that. But I think they can run the ball on early downs and then play action pass, move the pocket, kind of do things like that to give some easy completions for Brosmer. Of course, look, as you said, a couple turnovers would be nice. I mean, that's wishful thinking. The Lions don't turn the ball over very much, but that would be very helpful.
if we want to kind of peel back the curtain here again, over at VSiN.com, we have those AI prop projections. I brought up yesterday that, you know, Justin Jefferson was lined as if he had Max Brosmer at quarterback, right? I mean, like, he was lined not like a true top five wide receiver in the NFL. And so if we kind of compare to what they've got going on at DraftKings right now, he's up to 64.5. Jeff, yesterday, what were we yesterday at 61.5 or something like that when we talked about this? So I think it's gone up a three, you know, full 3 yards, something like that. They actually have him at Opta under that. They have him at 57 yards. And I get it. I understand. I mean, like, the last time we saw Brosmer, he looked god awful. But I do believe, and you could speak to this much better than I could, but there is at least a level of confidence in going into a week knowing that you're going to be the starter and getting all of the reps under center and getting all of the attention from all of the coaches and all of that. I mean, I can only imagine that for a guy like him, that this is like a massive, massive deal to just know for a week that you're going to be the dude.
Absolutely. And also too, like, let's be real. He came in last week and play a little bit better than the first game. Look, in the first game, again, a lot of short passes, obviously the four interceptions. You played, that was Seattle's defense, though, one of the best in the NFL. Played the Giants last week, came in out of nowhere, 7 of 9, 50 yards passing. Again, you're not a ton of passes down the field, but efficient enough. They don't need a ton from him today. Just don't turn the ball over, right? Like, don't be a turnover merchant. If you can do that, it does feel like he'll be okay against this Lions defense. And again, getting a full week to practice and having just more game experience, right? Mm-hmm. This will be, again, his third game he's played, his second start. So I think there's an opportunity, you know, for him to just play better today against the Lions defense is not very good.
Guys, before the Lions move, Sharp Plays is already there, powered by advanced AI, active across the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and college hoops. They deliver a serious edge that bettors do rely on. They'll give you those insights straight to your inbox or to your X feed. Been around since 2011 with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com. Again, this thing is going to kick here, I think the screen said, in about 8 minutes or something like that. We are currently, so 7.5 everywhere now. So the money is, the late money here on the Lions. All of those sevens have turned to 7.5s now. 45, the prevailing total, though a couple places still hanging around out there at 45.5. I think if I was playing this total, I'd probably play it over, because I think if we're assuming that Minnesota can at least do a little bit on the offensive side of the ball, we know Detroit's offense is almost defense proof. And so they're probably going to do their part as well. I think I would be leaning a little bit towards the over 45 here, maybe on the break. That's something I throw in so that we have something fun to root for, Jeff. You know, it's kind of just it's a fun bet. It's festive season here. Let me put in a fun festive bet.
It's a fun bet. I like that. I like that fun bet. I think the over is probably better in play than the under in this situation, considering where both teams are at right now. And then you have something to root for, which obviously makes it more fun. Again, I mean, I don't gamble more than I do when I'm on one of these shows with. I'm just sitting on my screen, just watching the games, making wagers as we go. I'm sure I'll find something live.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, I'll get in some final bets here. And of course, we'll get this thing kicked off and any live angles that we have. Update you on the NBA as well as Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz in for Mitch Paul. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Thanks for being with us here. We are moments away from kickoff here in our second game between the Detroit Lions and Minnesota Vikings. This is 7.5 in favor of the Lions on the road. 45.5 now, pretty much everywhere. See, we're moving markets out here, Jeff, saying that we lean towards an over.
I love it.
So 45.5 everywhere. Yeah, we know that's definitely us. But 45.5, I did throw a small little over on the 45, and I did a small little 62.5 over on Justin Jefferson as far as his receiving. Gives me something to root for here, guys, because guess what? I know there's going to be a lot of people that will tell you that you can only make bets that are positive EV, and the word, you know what, we can have fun sometimes too, and I'm just having fun. It's a fun bet, Jeff. I'm gonna be watching the game. I want to sweat something. I have a fun bet in,
as long as you do it responsibly. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah,
I had one bet last night for the Cal game. I missed by one touchdown by Tron Grizzle. I mean, I lost other wagers too, but I hit the running back over at least. But yeah, I mean, just have fun with it, and you know, do responsibly. And Yeah, I mean, there's no positive EV on a parlay you make 30 seconds before the start of the game. So the Vikings are wearing their all whites. I don't like their all white uniforms. I don't know if that matters at all. They're wearing like, aren't these like their snow uniforms or ice uniforms, whatever they are?
Yeah, it looks like so something's going on with the crowd too. It seems like everyone's in white as well.
Well, yeah, it's like the day where they like when they match, like, you know, it's their like whatever they call them, ice uniforms or something. So they're wearing their ice uniforms, and Lions are wearing their all blacks. So here we go. We got some alternate uniform day.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a fun game regardless. And as we said, we are definitely sweating this one as well. The 10 remaining entries in Circuit Survivor, we had 6 of them on the first game, 5 on the Cowboys, 1 on the Commanders. So we are definitely losing at least one entry. 4 are on the Vikings. If you don't know the backstory here and go, wait, what do you mean? Why are they on the Vikings? Only 5 of the 10 entries had a favorite left to take this week. All 5 took the Cowboys. That was the only, those were the only entries that had a favorite. 1 of them took the Commanders. 4 of them are here on the Vikings. There was one entry that had the Chiefs, but chose not to get on an island with the Chiefs out there with that one. I think the only justification that you could have made in that would be that you would have all of the information in front of you if you wanted to at that point. But the money line is so far out there now, Jeff. I mean, like, it's just, it'd be hard to place a hedge bet on it. And so I completely understand why the person just went ahead and took the Vikings.
There is a chance the Chiefs don't score today. So I think it's the right decision to go with the Vikings.
Yeah, and that.
I told you their total was 10.5. I bet it at under 10.5 this morning. It went up to 12.5. I don't know why. Who is betting the over on the Chiefs today? They don't have a quarterback. I don't understand. They weren't scoring points when Mahomes was healthy. Now all of a sudden against Denver, they're going to magically score a bunch of points tonight. So I'm fine with my under 10.5. It's now 12.5. I would play Minnesota in this spot. Again, you still have a side of the ball playing well in the defense. You hope you can get enough from the offense against a bad Lions defense. So I think this is the right decision if you had Minnesota to play them, if that was the only option here. And good luck to the people on the Vikings in this game. I'll be rooting for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's very slim hopes for the Lions to make the playoffs. Obviously, I mean, it would be there is something for them to play for here, but even they have to know that it's slim to none that they're going to get in as well. And so, hey, if you're the Vikings, go out there and ruin your rivals' slim chances of making the playoffs. That's a reason to be a little motivated.
Look, I say this quite often. I forget who I learned this from, but if you have to win a game, a must-win game, you must not be very good, right? And the Lions are having to win a must-win game, right? Because they have not played the style of football they played last year, and it's been sloppier this year. It's been worse on defense, and that's why they're in this spot. They're in a spot where they have to win because they're not as good as they were last season, and they have not lived. We just saw a game featuring two teams with nothing to play for. They played hard, man. The Vikings are gonna play hard today in this stadium. You know, one of the things where it's, you know, showing the outside stadium now. Obviously, it's domed. I think football should be played outside, but then you see all the bad weather. You're like, okay, inside's okay.
Yeah, I don't. I hate the cold. Play everything indoors. I can't anything below, man, it gets below 50 degrees, I'm donezo. No cold weather for me. I'm out.
It's so impactful for the home team to play in the cold, though, and especially if they're used to it.
So we do have some stuff coming through right now, and this is about the game a little bit later. Not that this is going to affect the outcome of that one, but just moving forward, I'm curious to what you think here about this one, Jeff, being a former offensive lineman yourself. The Broncos have placed their center, Luke Wattenberg, on IR with a shoulder injury for them. So obviously he is going to be done at least for the next couple of games and maybe longer with that. How difficult is it this late in the season to lose your starting center and try to get some cohesiveness on that offensive line?
I want to see who does the backup center. I wish I knew, but that's not on the tip of my tongue here. It's a Forsyth. I mean, it's not great, but the rest of the offensive line is pretty good, and I think they can make it work. best you can. And they've had, you know, a week to prepare for that. The Chiefs defensive line is not one that you have to worry about outside of Chris Jones. And, you know, Chris Jones is very hit or miss. Some games he looks great, other games he doesn't. So I think you're okay in this one. But obviously, if you don't get him back for the postseason, that's not great for that to happen. But at least you know now, kind of get through the next couple of weeks and reevaluate come postseason time.
So Josh Duhamel was doing the like skull, leading the skull chant for them.
That's actor, right?
Yeah.
Pretty fun. I played for the Vikings for a year. The skull chant before the game is pretty fun. I didn't play at this stadium, but it's pretty cool. Pretty cool idea.
Interesting. He is from North Dakota, but I'm going to guess maybe did he go to school in Minnesota or something? Well, I guess maybe if you're from North Dakota, that would just be your team.
You're a Vikings fan.
Yeah. That would just be your
probably.
Team.
Yeah.
Is he still married to Fergie?
He went to what?
Is he still married to Fergie? No, not still married to Fergie. No longer.
Do we have someone?
R.I.P.
Someone on the staff.
Yeah. R.I.P. Fergie. R.I.P. Celebrity marriage. He's not married to Fergie.
They got divorced a while back. He has a new wife.
Yeah. He's already got a new wife. Yeah.
Yeah. He went to Manoit State. Is that how you say it?
And that's somewhere up there too.
In North Dakota, though.
Yeah.
So in North Dakota. So he maybe grew up a Vikings fan because you're in North Dakota.
Yeah, that's what I. That's got to be it.
Whew.
Yeah,
that's cold. It's got to be cold.
Football can be played indoors as far as I'm concerned, man. This is just no good. So we do
already injury.
Jeez. So yeah, I was going to say we do get a kickoff, and on the very first play, was it the actual returner?
Yeah.
Oh, he just kind of went down on his own. Oh, he got no. It just looked like he went down on his own. Miles Price goes down for the Vikings here. They will take the ball first in this one. Again, we kicked off at 7.5 in favor of the Lions, 45.5 the prevailing total out there in this one. So as soon as we get real action going, we'll keep you updated here on what's going on. But over in the NBA, we do have some action that's going on, and 10-point lead under 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah. The Spurs over the Thunder. Yes, the Thunder are losing to the Spurs again. Now there is still, again, 10 minutes to play. This could go away, but boy, this is this Spurs team. Wembanyama, I say this every single time that I get the opportunity, but watching him do what he does at his size and his age, I can only imagine, always barring health, but I can only imagine what he's going to look like in 3 years.
That's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
It's like watching an alien play basketball. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I have this OKC 23-1 ticket to break the record, the 74 wins. And the Spurs are single-handedly costing me this wager. Now, the NBA Cup game doesn't count, but if they win this game and pull this out, that'll be your third win in a row against the Thunder in just a span of about 2 weeks. And again, the Cup game doesn't count. So really just two losses, back-to-back losses, by the way. The first game was close, a 2-point win for the Spurs. The last game in San Antonio was a 20-point win for the Spurs. OKC missed a bunch of shots in the third quarter. It wasn't like the Spurs were doing anything defensively, but they come out fast here to start the fourth quarter and see if they can come back.
Yeah, this is a rare off shooting night for SGA, 6 of 16 from the floor here in this one. He only got to 20 points because he's 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So
of course he is.
Yeah. It gets that going. So a rare off shooting night for SGA. Caruso off the bench, who usually is a little bit of a help as well, is 2 of 11, including 1 of 10 from three. If at first you don't succeed, try again and again and again and again and again and again. 1 for 10 from three.
Keep firing
for Alex Caruso there in that one. Again, we are off and going here, Detroit and Minnesota. We'll keep you updated. And of course, the end of this NBA game as well. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All the Money here on VSiN. Matt Brown, Jeff Schwartz. Happy holidays to everybody out there as the Minnesota Vikings' first drive left a little bit to be desired. Jeff, if you had a plus seven app. That being said, they just get to Jared Goff. So good on them. But you said you were talking about the scripted plays, and when the scripted plays go backwards, that's never any good.
Well, they won the toss and took the ball. I'm team defer all times. Harrison Smith just got the sack. He was in Minnesota when I was there in 2012. I was explaining this to my wife when they were on national TV the other day. I'm like, this guy was on the team. I'm trying to think of like how many players non-quarterback in the NFL are still in the league from when I retired in 2015. And like non-quarterback, it's like Trent Williams and Harrison Smith. Like not many. I don't even know, J.J. Jansen, the Panthers long snapper, still in the NFL. Like non-specialist, non-quarterback. It might just be Harrison Smith and Trent Williams. I really think that's it.
Third and 13, they get Bobby a chunk Wagner. With a little bit of a screen out to Gibbs. And, of course, Dan Campbell doesn't flinch. Fourth and three, you know he's going for it. He didn't even flinch.
Yeah. Maybe Bobby Wagner's three. That's three. I think three.
So fourth and three, a little looks bit like past midfield here, and they get them to jump. Oh, geez.
I think teams should find defensive linemen that jump off sides.
They get them to jump. Oh, they're actually having a little discussion on this. Did somebody make them? Did somebody induce them to jump? Because this was not an immediate call here. Jared Goff pleading his case. Maybe this is going to go against the Lions.
I'm trying to see what they're.
We do get it. False start on the Lions. So that makes the fourth and three, fourth and eight, and out trots the punt team.
Goff said something he probably shouldn't have. The official looked at him pretty pissed. I feel like Goff is a Phillip Rivers type, though. Like, golly, what did they call? What's the penalty on?
So. I'm going to guess, you know how the center, you know how they say, if you lift it too fast, you know, like if you lift your head too fast,
how do I rewind? Come on, Netflix, this is frustrating.
So the center,
yeah, I want to watch it live. You're exactly right. I would like to watch it live. I'd like to rewind it for a second. Like how difficult is this going to be?
I'm guessing you're not a fan of the streaming games.
I don't care, but now I can't rewind it. So I don't know what happened.
So that was what that did do.
Why be streamy if I can't rewind a play?
I'm with you. It seems like everything should be easier than it is. There's no doubt about it. So it looks like that is going to be, one of those kind of lame center races his head too fast deals. And so that's dumb. So they get the 5-yard penalty and then the fourth and three becomes fourth and eight. So they do go ahead and punt that thing away. Interesting. Again, I'd you know what I don't like about these type of call, Jeff? It's like they've got to make it to where it's much more uniform, because these ones where it's subjective as to whether how fast did he raise his head. It's like there's got to be some sort of something where you can't raise your head all the way up or something. All you can do is kind of like move your. There's got to be some sort of something, because if you're just making these refs decipher how fast he raised his head, then we get stuff like this.
All right, so the reason that you really shouldn't call us on the first drive of the game is because it should be uniform every time. Mm-hmm. So whatever pace you want to lift your head up at, if it's the same thing every time, that's your snap count, right? Mm-hmm. Like you know, if you have an actual audible snap count, wait, I said hut, like that's your snap count, right? The snap count of the center moving his head is the exact same thing on silent cadence. So if a guy does it the exact same way every single time, then that way should be legal. That's their way to call the snap, right? And so if they do it in a different way later in the game, faster, more jerky, then call the penalty there. But on the first drive of the game, you can't call a center for a false start without having seen him actually do it.
Right. Okay, I'm with you. And by the way, as we mentioned, you know, this offensive line's been shuffled all around and all kinds of stuff going on with that. You mentioned Harrison Smith. Here's a little fun fact. Internet. I love internet wizards, by the way. Harrison Smith, the oldest defensive back with a sack since Charles Woodson in 2014. Harrison Smith is 36 years old and 326 days. So he's the oldest defensive back with a sack since Charles Woodson in 2014.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, he's played a long time, man. Good for him. One team, entire time with the Vikings.
We are monitoring this Spurs and Thunder game, and I can tell you right now, we are now at the six-minute mark, and the Spurs have extended that lead. It is no longer – it's out to 13 now over this Thunder team, where we were looking at 10 a few minutes ago. So we'll see if the Spurs can hold on again. They're sitting 22-7 on the season, 26-4 on the Thunder. And boy, this Spurs team going into OKC and getting it done on the road on Christmas Day, everybody's watching. Spurs might be hell, man. There's still minutes restriction on Wemby right now. There's probably better days to come for them even.
Yeah, I think sometimes in the regular season, you could point to some of these games and say to yourself, well, the other team doesn't care about this game as much, right? That's certainly fair. But OKC is trying to break the record. Like, they've talked about it. They want to break this record. And they've now lost the Spurs what appears to be three straight times. So you're beating OKC when they want to play as best as they can. They missed a ton of shots in the third quarter. It was a low-scoring third quarter. If you're able to continue to do this, you're certainly a threat in the West. And obviously, the playoffs are a different animal than the regular season. And the Spurs still have time to add a piece, right? They have time to add a piece if they need to and make a run. Look, Wemby, we all know, is not a regular human. He's all 7'5". It shouldn't look this way from a guy like that, but it does. And when you have a piece like that, man, you're going to be set.
Look, I know that today is Christmas, but you can still give gifts. It's fine. So if you're looking for a holiday gift, maybe you didn't see the person that you were trying to give the gift to, so you can just give it to them after the fact. You know how it goes. Well, we've got a gift special here for you. The holiday special over at VSiN gives you VSiN Pro access. Everything we do now until May the 1st for $79. So obviously our best deal of the year. You get the best bets. You get the AI prop projections. You get the betting splits page. You get the daily articles breaking down every single thing that goes on in the sports world over there at VSiN.com. Go in. The picks page will always be there for all the host picks, all the guest picks as well. You get the email delivered to you every single day from Bill as well. So give yourself the gift of smarter betting, VSiN.com/subscribe. Everything we do over at VSiN.com, $79 now until May the 1st. Well, we have not lit the scoreboard on fire here for the first 6 minutes of the game. 0-0. We actually haven't gotten any real yardage either. We got 5 passing yards from Brosmer, 4 rushing yards from Aaron Jones. We got 4 rushing yards from Jahmyr Gibbs, and we got a couple of little screen passes that actually was all yak in from Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jones got about 10. So I feel good about my over Jones. I think he's going to get over today. I think this, the Lions run game and what the Vikings are doing early on with fullbacks. They got fullback in a couple plays in a row now. Jefferson got a nice look. They said Brosmer with a nice throw to Jefferson for about 8-9 yards. So this is what I expect from this team. It's just going to be a slow and steady pace for the Vikings today, because that's what they have to be.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where I look at a guy like Brosmer, and we talked about this in the handicap of the game. I think that there is a confidence factor. You talked about the confidence factor yesterday on the show when we were in here, but the confidence factor of a guy just knowing that he's going to be the starter, getting all of the reps, going in, the starters are the ones patting him on the back and, practice and whatever. And like, you feel like one of the dudes, and they can set up, like you said, some plays that maybe increase that confidence just a little bit more. This Detroit defense has not been good all season long, basically. I mean, granted, tons of injuries. I understand all of that, but it is what it is. They could have some success here for sure.
So one thing they're going to do, and they have been doing this is where the game is going to matter for this offense, is you can practice all you want and they have good plays up, but the third and long is where you got to do it in a game. You practice it, of course, but you got to do it in a game. And so they've had one third and long. He got sacked on this drive. There was a penalty to start the drive on the Lions, but they're winning first down, right? So now you have a second and one, or you have a second and four. And that allows you to stay out of third and long, where teams tend to bring the exotic pressures, exotic fronts. We have to hold the ball a little bit longer, or decision-making is a little bit more difficult. So winning early downs is going to be hugely important for the Vikings. And they're doing that on this drive. Again, penalty on the Lions for holding. They got a big gain on first down. Now they got a nine-yard pass on second, first down again. Now second and one. Second and one, mm-hmm. you have your whole playbook. You can run the ball, play action pass, do whatever you want in this situation. And so this is where you want to be the entire game. So they win first down. Win first down is 5 yards, by the way. Then you have the ability to stay ahead of the chains and really sort of, you know, be where you want to be.
We said this thing kicked off at 7.5. It is now under the key number of 7, 6.5 in favor of the Lions. 45 was the total. Of course, with no score out there, the thing has dipped down to 41.5. We'll keep you updated on everything here, Lions, Vikings, as well as Spurs, Thunder. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.